Blog Talk Radio. to your place. This is Joy in Austin, where we're actually having a little winter. I'm hearing stories from all around the country where people are actually having snow and being able to play in the snow. We're not quite like that, but it is freezing. We feel like we're having winter because we can have a fire in the fireplace. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary. February 6th is the one-year anniversary of the very first Your Place episode. And as usual, I want to thank all of you for being here, because without you, there would have been no show. And I think that Wild Bill has just blossomed into quite the host, and I'm just really proud to have been part of the whole thing. We've got a special show going on tonight about healing, miracles, and healing in specific as a miracle. I'll just turn it over to Wild Bill and let him get us started. Hey, Wild Bill.
Hello, Joy. Well, you talk about wintertime. You should have been with some of the places I've been. Those poor people in Oklahoma, I don't know about the rest of the country that was going through the major part of the storm, but I know the area I was at where they shut down Interstate 44, there was like 40,000 people in that area that had no electricity, and they didn't know when they was going to get their electricity back on. So those people were having some real wintertime. Beautiful, though, with the ice on the trees and everything and on the power lines, but it got so heavy I saw light poles that were snapped off above the ground from where the wind was gusting through, 35, 40 mile an hour winds. And I got a cousin who lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he does a service where he cleans parking lots in the wintertime, and he was thinking he wasn't going to get anything of it when I talked to him the day before, and I called him the next day, and about noon it started snowing, and I think before it was over with, they got like 6 inches of snow. So he said he had more to do than he could pray over. I told him you ought to come on down south and help some of those other people. He's like, no, thank you, brother. I got plenty. But Joy is fixing to abandon us here. I don't know if you caught that from what she was saying. She said that she was going to do this with us for a year, kind of be the co-host there, and she's fixing to just put us out on her own. She said we're 1 year old now, and we got to stand without her. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, but...
Oh, you'll have trouble getting rid of me. I'll still be calling in.
You know, I hope so. The topic last week was on miracles. And, you know, as always, the best laid plans of mice and men, I had Internet access, and I had a lot of stuff pulled up on the Internet that I wanted to share and go over, and some scriptures and everything. And then all of a sudden, the Internet service went down. I didn't copy none of the stuff off. And so here I am in Kansas City, Missouri tonight. Kind of having to fly by the seat of my pants on some of the things I wanted to share. The very first thing I want to say is please do not take anything I say as offensive, because personally I know people that had the most awesome walks with God that I would wish to have that died while they were trusting God with illness and things. So I'm not trying to say anything to slam anyone that's going through that, because the Bible lets us know that it's appointed once for man to die and after this to judgment. So, you know, we all have, I believe that we're a set time is set for all of us, that God has set a clock for us to live our life. But the reason I wanted to talk about healing specific from miracles, and I found a scripture that was talking about gifts and fruits and things that actually showed in the Bible that healing is listed specifically with miracles. It shows it as a separate thing. And I think the reason for that, well, there's several things I think is a reason for that, but one of the things that I want to let people know that I'm very aware of, and even more so after looking on the Internet, and I grew up during that time, there used to be these huge tent revivals, and I grew up at sort of the end of that phase of what was going on, but it went on for years, and healing was one of the main things that they tried to use to draw people. Now, later on, there was television shows and things that came out that made fun of it. There was, you know, exposés done to show that these people were carrying the same people from town to town that really had nothing wrong with them, and they were faking that healing was taking place. And so, because of this, the people talking about spiritual, you know, having faith and healing kind of went by the wayside, but I was really amazed to find out how many of the denominations today started with their preachers in tent revivals, and healing was, I mean, a major part of their service. I mean, a major part. But then they would turn right around and they would say, now this is still going on, but the other stuff that happened with the new church and the New Testament, the book of Acts, that was just for the time of the apostles. You know, we don't believe that baptism in Jesus' name like they had there, that was just for them. And we don't believe that the speaking in tongues and the trembling, the lips and everything is a sign of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Well, that was for them. That's not now. And then they also, it was amazing, they don't believe in prophecy, tongues and interpretation, all those gifts that were there, that was just for them. And I thought, wow, how could they take something that was so much a part of what was going on at the same time with the New Testament church, and then all of a sudden want to say, right down the middle, we're going to take this and we're going to apply it, and then this here, we're not going to apply. It's not going to be part of what we believe. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize how many denominations did that. And it just kind of blew me away. And, you know, as I said at the beginning of this, I know that there's a lot of people that, you know, have tried to trust God for healing and they passed away. But I do think that healing is different for several specific reasons. One of those was that the beating that Jesus took, the Bible lets us know that by his stripes we are healed. They don't say you could be, you should be, might could have happened. It says, you know, you're healed, you know. And then there's all those scriptures that talk about faith. And the one thing that's different is that we're all given a measure of faith. We're not given any measure of righteousness because the Bible lets us know we have none. You know, I've been going through looking at the righteousness. And I'm going to be honest with you, these topics here, and I've said this before, I'm looking to grow closer. I don't want to be like that man on that cruise ship that didn't get everything that his ticket paid for. I'm really wanting to grab hold of everything that God has for me for my life. And so that's why I looked at this thing of healing. And as Rhonda knows, I've been going through some issues with my body that just to say that I hurt is to put it mildly. I mean, I've been going through some pain is so severe in my back that it makes you holler, makes me clench my hands with whatever's in it, feels like I'm going to break it in half, makes me move to where I can't sit still, even has made me so sick that I've thrown up because I'm hurting that bad. And so it's been severe. And, I mean, during my time that I was off on my vacation, I went to church, I was anointed with oil, as the Bible says. And, you know, the Bible lets us know that the prayer of faith shall raise the sick. And, you know, I was thinking I've done these things, but I've heard other people say this before. They talk about my stinking thinking. And there's one thing to believe something and another thing to really believe it. You know, if you're sitting there hanging on to a vine that's fixed to break loose on the side of a cliff and someone reaches down with their hand and say, here, take my hand and let me help you, well, you're not going to let go of that vine you got a hold of unless you really believe that that person is going to be able to help you get back on top of that cliff. You know, you're going to hang on to what you got. Even if it's breaking off and you see dirt's coming and roots are snapping, you're not going to let go of what you know for something you don't know if you don't really believe in it. And, the Bible just over and over in the New Testament, it talks about miracles of people being healed. And I kind of shared this with Joy a little bit the other day that, you know, we read the Bible and we kind of read his words. You know, he said this and she said that. And, you know, Jesus laid hands on this person and said, you know, your faith has made you whole. And we read it just like that. But I was sitting out here. My wife took me to go get back in this truck from our house in Spring Hill to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where it was in the shop. And I was hurting so bad. And I thought, Lord, you know, I've got to work. I got to make a living. I got to support my family. I got a house payment I got to pay. I had no option but to get in this truck. And anyone that's ever been in a tractor trailer truck knows these things beat you to death. For someone that's got back problems, it's not something pleasant to look forward to. And in my case, it wasn't at all. And we loaded everything up in here and installed it. She had to be up at 3 o'clock the next morning, and so we didn't get everything put where it went. And we just told her, you know, I was carrying stuff from her car to the truck, and she was putting it back. And finally, I just told her just to put stuff on my bed. But when she left, after moving back and forth, carrying stuff from the car to the truck, when I climbed up in the truck, when I went to bend over to pick up stuff, I couldn't do it. That excruciating pain was there in my back. And, you know, and I just felt like crying. I'm like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And I was really feeling sorry for myself. I'm not going to lie to anybody. But I was sitting. I couldn't get into bed. There was so much stuff on the bed. I couldn't get in just to lay down. I couldn't sit down to get comfortable. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I mean, I couldn't even sit at a computer with that whenever I tried to get up, just having this huge spasms. And I couldn't sit for very long. I couldn't sit in a restaurant without these spasms hitting me in my back. And I just got to thinking, okay. And I know this was God that brought this to my memory. I had been prayed for several times for this. And, you know, I got to thinking, you know, I'm doing a job out here that someone has a limited range of motion that I do. It's pretty much impossible without running over somebody, you know, because I have very limited range of motion in my neck. And Joy can tell you I have to pretty much turn my shoulders to look. And with these back spasms, I couldn't twist my torso at all. And but God has blessed me. I've drove almost 2 million miles, not ever had an accident. And I know that that's God keeping his hand on me, allowing me to make provisions to provide for my family. And I got to thinking about that. And there's a power in counting your blessings. And I got to think, you know, I've been prayed for. And the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And all of a sudden, I got to visualizing some of the things that I read as words in the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever been in a stadium where they've done the wave, and I've shared this before. I always wondered how, I always felt like I'd be one of those geeks that after it got past, I'd jump up and sit back down. You know, how do they know when to stand up? And you actually feel the wave coming. It almost lifts you when it gets to you. And then you know when to sit down. And so I was thinking about Jesus always had a large crowd of people around him everywhere he went, you know, because he was doing miracles and everything. And, you know, he couldn't go anywhere. You know, they talked about, you know, having to go out in the boat, you know, because the crowds that were massed around him. And I could see the different miracles. I could, you know, almost visualize, you know, the lame man that was outside the temple and Jesus coming along, you know, with the crowd that's there all around him. And, you know, that man was aware that something was coming. And, you know, he got seeing everybody running. You know, here, you know, Jesus is coming. They're running to be up there with Jesus and follow along with him. And there was probably as many in front of him as there was behind him from coming people all around. And so I shared with Joy. I think he was probably sitting here with his little cup and where he usually probably, you know, sitting there, alms. When Jesus was coming, I could just picture this man, alms. He wanted to be noticed. He wanted to be seen. He couldn't do anything for himself. And I believe with all my heart that it was the faith inside of him that stirred Jesus to come over to him in the miracle that was performed. And so I got to thinking about that faith, and I got to building up inside of me. And so I kind of knocked some stuff off the floor and everything, and I was laying up there in the bed. And I was still thinking, I'm going to have to drive this truck tomorrow. I might drive this truck tomorrow. I've still got to get all this stuff moved, and, you know, they're going to start dispatching. I got to hook trailers and drop trailers, and this is not going to happen. But I kept visualizing that believing, to believe what I already knew, to accept it, that it was there, that he wanted to give it to me, that these are promises that are absolutes. Healing is not something that's a maybe. It's an absolute. And when I got to thinking about it that way, whoo, man, I got up the next morning. I'm like, that didn't hurt. I started that truck up. So I got to driving down the road, and I hit one of them bumps that used to just send me through the ceiling in Starla's car, which rides a lot better than this truck. I'm like, I ain't hurting. And I got to praising God and thanking God. And today, I mean, I've been doing this for a couple of weeks now, and today I sat down in a chair at my computer for 2 hours, which was something that before I came out here 8 or 9 days ago, I could not do without being in excruciating pain. And I know that that was a miracle of God letting me realize that he is a healer. And I hear all these people talk about, you know, not being name it and claim it and all that stuff, and I really don't understand that, because on healing, I think that's one of those things that God wants us to name and to claim. And if I'm wrong, I want someone to come up there and explain it to me. The only thing that, excuse me, that came to mind was when I was a child, I suffered with allergies really, really bad. And to the point that I was 6 months ago to pills to shots. And we were prayed for, and we were healed. And we moved out in the country. I mean, to a place where I'm allergic to pretty much every kind of tree, bush, everything that there was. And here we moved out in the country, and all of a sudden I wasn't taking shots, pills, or nothing. And I was just no problem. I had a problem with my breathing and everything, and my eyes were swell shut, you know, if something happened like that. And then there's been different times in my life to where it's come back. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Was I healed or was I not healed? And then I wonder, you know, I can kind of see, you know, maybe this was my trial. Do you really believe that you were healed? Do you really trust me? Are you going to acknowledge you were healed and rebuke this? Is this one of those things you're going to stand up and say, Satan, get behind me, I was healed? You know, some of this I was
really
trying.
And it seems like there's something in there about something in the whole story that you're telling about having the faith and the gratitude even if the symptoms are still there.
Yeah, but there was some
even
times
if you're struggling
in my childhood, though, that I felt like that there was times where I just suffered through things till it got better. You know, I got prayed for,
yeah,
and I wanted to claim I was healed, and I said, well, I still got the symptoms. And I think that's what sort of, you know, it's kind of a fine line there. And really, deep down, a lot of it had to do, again, with my thinking. Did I ever really acknowledge what happened? Was I too young? And as I got older, God wanted to remind me. And so he allowed us, you know, those things I don't know. But I know for a fact that as a child I was healed. I don't take any medication for my allergies anymore. But there are certain places and certain times where all of a sudden, you know, some of the symptoms come back. And so I really don't, you know, I really can't, you know, get a bearing on some of that. So I want to hear what some of the other people think about that. These are scriptures that they have. Maybe there's people that don't believe that healing, you know, still applies to us in this day and time. But I would like to
if
hear.
If anybody's got anything, press 1, and I will bring you on. Sorry for interrupting you there, Wild Bill, but I want to remind them so they can start queuing up. What were you saying else that you're hoping to hear?
I'm really hoping that during this program that I get more of a grasp even from the thing with my back, you know, what's happening right there and everything, because it just seems so. I don't believe in mind over matter, you know. I mean, I know some people say, well, if I don't mind, you don't matter, you know. But but I do believe that this faith is what drives it, and that's why I picked that song on there. Faith is an action word. It's like putting gas in the fuel tank, you know. And I was reminded of the woman that had the issue of blood, you know. Jesus didn't lay hands on her. There was nobody fasting. There was no, you know, about, you know, hey, we're going to pray for this lady. She's got a problem here. She just had it, her faith in her mind, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed because of her faith that she was going to be healed. She had that much confidence that, you know, that Jesus was a healer. This was before the stripes, you know, and everything. So,
which in a certain way, I know what you mean when you say mind over matter, but in a certain way that was mind over matter. And the Bible does say, as a man thinketh, so is he, and some things that go along it. But I know what you mean. You're talking about that just, which I guess could also be a way of saying name it and claim it. Maybe there are just variations of these different things that we're talking about.
And I, you know, it's just like the thing with the allergy. You know, I don't know what it is that makes things like that come back. But then I know most of the time my first thought is, okay, got to get up and get some Sudafed, you know, got to get some cough drops, you know, where if my first thought was, wait a minute, whoa, I've been healed of this, because I'm not going to lie, there's been a couple of things that's happened to where I've not had a spasm since I've been out here on the road, and I was sharing that with Stoller the other day, what a miracle that is. But I still have certain things where I feel like a little catch or something in my back. And I'm like, no, I was healed. We're not going to do this. I know what happened. I'm not going to lay this down. I'm not going to say that this is something that didn't happen to me. And then the next thing you know, I'm like, oh, I forgot. You know, that little catch is not there. You know, and it's like God, we're just like little children, I think, in most things when it comes to the things of God. He says we look through a glass darkly. But I heard a preacher, and I found a thing on the Internet, and I wish I'd wrote his name down. He was saying that if people just kept believing in faith in God, he didn't believe nobody in his church would even die until God just took them on. Because he said they had people that had cancers on the side of their face. And, you know, people would see them on the street like, oh, that's cancer. I got somebody died with that. You need to go to the doctor. and they'd go to the church, they'd be prayed for, and it'd fall off. You know,
wow.
Like, there it is, it's laying up there on their pillow and things like this. And he said several times that, you know, people told him that, you know, he had certain things wrong with him, and they said, there's no way you're going to live. And he said, and he told the doctor, well, I ain't going to believe that. That's your, you know, prognosis or whatever on it. You know, my work, my insurance made me come up here and get this checked out. But I'm believing that God's going to heal it. And every, he mentioned several different things in his church, just healing after healing after healing. But he said they were taught constantly to have faith, to believe, to stand on the word, to apply it in faith, not to apply it as rhetoric, not to make it like a magic formula, not to go in and say, you know, well, you know, I'm going to get prayed for. You know, it's kind of like, you know, he said, it's not this, now I lay me down to sleep stuff, or God is great, God is good that we do when we're asking, you know, to bless our food. He said, I'm talking about serious praying and giving it to God and then leaving it there. And I thought, wow, yeah. You know, how many times do you go up at the altar and then, or you go up front and they anoint you with oil and you lift your hands and you're listening to what they say? And you're like, yeah, that sounds good, yeah, that's what I want, yeah. You know, not really putting it, yeah, not really putting it in gear, saying, yes, Lord, I'm standing on your word. I'm obeying you. I'm getting anointed with oil by the elders of the church. We're believing in faith that there's going to be a change, that I'm going to be healed. And we've got research in our church. What?
I was remembering the man yelling for alms. He wasn't just being kind of common.
Yeah. I just could visualize that man. He felt the coming there, and he wanted to make sure that he was heard. When Jesus walked, you know, there's several times Jesus told people, he says, your faith is what made you whole. When Jesus reached out his hand and told that man to rise up and walk, I don't believe that man jerked his hand away. I don't believe he was in that. I believe that he was trembling with excitement all over. I could almost, you remember little Billy Trimble, how he'd almost shake because he couldn't sit still? I could see that man sitting there. There's like little Billy Trimble sitting there just shaking all over and reaching his hand up like, yeah, let's get up. You know, I'm ready.
We've got somebody ready to join us here. It is a 618 area code. Last four numbers are 8089. You're on the air.
I called last week my son and my husband, Bill and Sheila.
Oh, yes, yeah, Sheila and Preston, yes.
Talked to Sister Kaiser. A lot of the things that I need, I mean, you know, I've got cancer, and we had a terrific service last Sunday. It wasn't last Sunday, but a minister preached to us, and he said he really did more teaching, more like a class than it was preaching, because he said, God told me that you guys have plenty of faith, you just don't know how to use it. And he talked through the whole thing. It was just wonderful teaching, and I got prayed for, and my stomach hurts 24/7. Not as bad. You know, sometimes it's horrible, and sometimes it's not. And my knee, and he called those up that had faith that God could heal them, and then he called those up that knew that their faith was ready to start working. And my pastor and my niece laid hands on me and was praying for me, and my stomachache totally went away.
Woo, wow. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
yes.
And I claimed my victory. My son came up there, and I hugged him, and I said, honey, mommy's going to be here to raise you. And I just kept holding on to that faith. You know, like the devil does, you get home, and your stomach starts hurting again. And I thought, it doesn't matter if it does hurt. It quit for a while. And, you know, that's something that I'm holding on to.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't a miracle, or it would have happened right then and there, but I need your prayer that we will all hold on, that we'll be strong.
Your voice sounds so much stronger than it did last week.
Well, a lot of my problem is my eating and my drinking. The doctor told me, he says, if you don't get plenty of food and liquids in you, there's nothing we can do for you. He says, we can't help you. Well, my stomach has shrunk a lot, you know, because through the year I've lost 70 pounds now.
Wow.
Some of us have been, I really haven't lost a whole lot since I've been sick, which is kind of upside down. But I can be eating a little bit of something, and I'm stuffed, and I need to eat, and I need to drink. So I need a lot of prayer there, you know, because I don't want to dehydrate, and the devil tries everything he can to discourage us. I'll do the woman thing and get tired of it and cry because I just can't stand the pain anymore. I can't stand what I'm doing to my family. And they're very good. It's not like they're complaining, would you quit crying, Mom, you know. But I know, I'm so glad I know God. I people that go through this, I have no idea what how they do it. I mean, how can anybody go through anything like cancer and not know God? And I just wanted to let you guys know. I mean, I appreciate the prayers that you've had for me. I mean, I've got a very big family, and they've set up schedules so that I know that there's at least three of them praying for me every day. Plus, I've got a church that loves me, and I appreciate.
And this will be easy for us. Each time any of us take a drink or take a bite of food, we'll just remember you and hope that your appetite is strong and that you find things that are delicious to you and your stomach just stretches out to hold it. And we're good eaters. We should be able to help with this prayer.
Yeah. I normally am, but I'm not doing real good right now. So
no,
I would appreciate your prayers for this, too.
Oh, I appreciate you
calling.
Don't
wear out waiting on me hand and foot. I mean,
amen.
He read something. He read something today, and it said, honey, it says you've got to get rest. And I said, what do you think I'm doing? That's all I am doing, you know. And then with my chemo, they've got it attached to me, and I take it Monday through Friday. Fridays they take it off and let me have the weekend off. Then I go in Monday, and they connect it back up. With the radiation, I go in every day, Monday through Friday. And that's what knocks me out. I asked the chemo lady, I said, does radiation make you tired? And she says, yeah, it'll just push out of commission almost. And I feel like that's all I'm doing is sleeping, and it's driving me nuts too. So the devil's just doing everything in his power. So just pray for us all the way around, and my husband and my son too, that they can be strong.
Yes,
we will all thank God for a miracle.
Yes. Now we're going to stand.
And
by
I do
promise.
Count that as a miracle, Sheila, that it quit hurting. I know what you're saying, that
yes.
It's not just like a full-blown thing that it's behind you, but still, to get out of pain, and like you said, that gave you something that you can hold on to. You had that feeling of knowing what it feels like for that pain to be gone. That's a miracle.
Yes,
yeah, and the
is.
Devil cannot take that away from me. I don't care what he does. There's no way he can take that away, unless he takes my memory away, you know.
Now, next week we're going to do a show on testimonies, and my pastor, Brother Jonathan McElhaney, his father had cancer, and whatever kind of cancer it was, I gave him just a few months to live with it, and he started memorizing scripture, the scriptures of promise, and he put them on his sun visor of his car, and he put them on his walls around his house, and he has a job where he has to travel and sell. And he kept, and he remembered, man, he can quote those scriptures now. I mean, it's just unreal. But I can't even remember how long I've known him now. I guess for at least 5 years, and he's still preaching and teaching just as hard as he ever was. But he said the same thing, and he really tries to get people to understand that you really have to grab hold of this thing.
Yes.
You have to really apply it to yourself. Can't nobody do it for you. And like I say, they told him a few months, and I know I've known him for at least 5 or 6 years now, and he's still preaching and teaching just as hard as he ever was, and I'm really going to try to get him to be on next week to share his testimony about what he went through with the whole thing. So,
and that always helps people, too. I have a friend coming to see me tomorrow. She doesn't live around here anymore, but she had breast cancer and had a breast removed, but she's going through, it's not in the same area, mine's pancreatic, but she's got the port thing on inside her skin like I've got, where they're feeding the chemo through that. So, you know, you don't want somebody to have this problem, but it's nice to know somebody that has, that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
That's all,
because in addition to how physically trying it is, I know that it's just hard emotionally and mentally, and like you say, feeling like your family's having to take care of you, even though they don't mind it, that wears you out. And so I've been thinking of you a lot, and I'm really glad that you called in, and I'm really happy about how much stronger your voice sounds.
Well, I am too. You know, sometimes it's better than other times, but every time that it's better, it makes my family feel better. I mean, like, two of my sisters call me almost every day, and other members, you know, call me or just, I know you was going through this today, how did it go, and church people, and sometimes I get too many calls, but at that point I hand it over to my husband and say, I can't talk anymore, you know.
Start fielding them.
Pardon?
And he has to start fielding them for you.
Yeah.
Handling the phone calls.
You know, I just can't talk right now.
And your husband, it seems like every time he says something, one of us drowns him out. Do you have anything you want to say, Bill?
No, I just put my faith in God, and I know he's a healer, and I'm just believing him for great things in our life.
Amen.
All right.
And they will be there. He had made mention.
My wife's favorite verse was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
And I'm holding on to that promise.
We've had a lot of scriptures that people have gave us too. That's been big help.
And having somebody right there with you who's believing like that with you, that's got to be worth its weight in gold.
Yes, it is. Even my son, and I forgot, he said to tell you guys that he loves you all.
Oh, we love him too. Tell him we love him too. I told you, I've got Kevin, my little 14-year-old, so that makes me feel a really strong connection to you. Wild Bill, were you about to say something? Oh, go ahead, Bill. Not Wild Bill, but regular Bill.
No, I was just saying I appreciate your prayers, and I just know that God's in control. You know, and he's going to take care of every situation in our life. And we can't have any more confidence than that.
Yes. And we are one big family. I mean,
it doesn't
matter where we are as far as what state we're in or anything right now. God's not limited. He lets us know when two or three come together. And thank God for Blog Talk Radio, where we can be all across this country. We can all connect with God and believe.
Uh-huh.
See things happen. I really believe that. I pray every time we do one of these shows, not just for my personal growth, but that somebody would hear something in this that may be just exactly what they need to hear, you know, or something that they're looking for. And we had a soldier that called in from, wasn't he in Afghanistan, Joy?
I think so.
And, you know, he didn't call in. He was going into the chat room and contacted us. And they had just lost someone there, and he just, you know, wanted prayer. And it just feels good to know that, you know, we can reach out and do that, even though it's really not a religious show. We're all called to be sensitive to things like that and to be ready. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Sister Magruder, and I don't remember what her illness was, and maybe somebody else can come in, but her husband came home one day and found her standing on her Bible, physically standing on her Bible. And he was like, you know, I think she done lost it. But she was sitting there, and she's like, Lord, I don't know what else to do, you know, whatever was going on with her. And so she said, I'm literally standing on your word. You know, I'm believing, you know, we've been in ministry all these years and everything. And as far as I know, she's had an awesome miracle in her life, too. So I really believe it has a lot to do with our thinking. But then again, God is sovereign. We, you know, so there's some things to this, you know, I really don't understand. I wish I could say I've got this nailed down pat. This is what you got to do, this, 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 and this. And the Bible tells us, you know, to get prayed for and things. But I really believe that it has a lot to do with what faith we apply to what it is. And also, you know, the thing with God being sovereign, and I'm thinking of a woman that, you know, Sister Mary in Arkansas, I was just so shocked to hear that she passed away, because I used to visualize, there was a book we used to read in school that was talking about the old-timey churches, and they had a woman that could sing, and it drew people from all over to come to their services because of this woman's voice. And her voice, just somehow or another, I pictured her as being that person, you know, that drew people and everything, and for the church there in Beebe, Arkansas. I mean, she didn't just sing good. She had an anointing that would come on her when she was singing church. And by the time song service and worship service was over, she couldn't even talk. But, man, she could sing. I mean, when she belted it out, you heard it. I mean, it wasn't those things like, you know, like, what'd she say? You know, did you hear that? What was she singing? I mean, she had a volume and an anointing to her like nobody I've ever seen.
Bobby didn't need a mic.
Exactly.
No, she didn't. And she's got a daughter that I heard a song from, I think, the BB Church. I think it was Amy. I'm not sure. That she sounds almost exactly like her mother. I mean, you know, the same type of anointing and everything. I'm like, wow. You know, talk about, you know, passing the mantle on to the next generation. But I do want to thank you guys for calling in. We are standing in prayer with you on this. And anything we can do to help at any time, just please let us know. And I'm going to be sure we're doing prayer and fasting at our church right now. And I'm going to be sure that we add you to that at our church there in Tennessee, too. So, you know that your brothers and sisters were standing with you. I'm sorry?
We just got through with it's not exactly a Daniel fast because my pastor has to change it around some because of different people in our church with sicknesses. So, but and entertainment is the one we do the third week, and that is probably the hardest thing in the world to give up. Regardless of what you do, it's just hard to give up entertainment.
Really?
Well, don't be surprised whenever you're having a big appetite this week. I'm fully expecting to get a report next week on the show that you just couldn't quit eating.
Never thought I'd ask people to pray for me to have an appetite, you know. But I am praying for that, you know, and liquids. It's
hard
to make yourself drink a lot. And normally I would drink a lot. If I'm at a meal, I will drink. Tea and water are the main things that I drink. But it's just, I would drink a lot. And I just don't drink a lot now. That's what I need.
So. All right. Get ready for it. Bill, you better buy some groceries.
All right. Oh, you're talking real me. I was thinking, I got to buy groceries?
Yeah.
Not Wild Bill, regular Bill. We need to get you a adjective to go with yours, Bill.
Okay.
Sheila's Bill, that's what we'll call him.
Okay, that'll work. Okay.
Well,
it's good talking to you folks.
You
well,
too.
Very nice. We really appreciate you calling in. And please keep calling and let us know. Like I say, we'll pray anytime and all the time. You know, we'll stand with you on this. So, you know what that reminds me of a little bit, George? Do you remember Andy Kivitz?
Yes, I do.
interesting
man.
Yes, he was. It was a man that he was a plumber, but he also was a grave digger there in BB, Arkansas. And he had a sore on his elbow that wouldn't heal. And we were doing door-to-door visitation, and I was out with Bill Trimble. Poor man, it was his first visitation. He's taking out with me, and I was just a teenager then. And that was one of the families we knocked on their door, and they came to church, and they called for people to come get prayer. And the doctor had already told him that he had cancer in that elbow. It was that sore wound heal with cancer, and that they were going to have to cut his arm off. And so you have to understand this, man. He's very simple in some ways as far as his mind. But he went up to get prayer, and he went up and like, yeah, I've been healed. We're like, wow, this guy's not even been in a Pentecostal church before. Where is he coming up with? And he kept saying it. And his wife said he went to the doctor. He goes, I've been healed. And they went ahead and they ran the test, and there was no cancer.
Praise God.
Because he accepted it with that simple mind to believe that that's what they said was going to happen, and he believed it. Mm-hmm. And he went to the doctor, and he told him he'd been healed, and he ran the test, and he was. So I know that there's something to this thing with applying faith to the promises of God.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, and I understand this thing, I mean, my back pain was nothing, I'm sure, to what you're going. Just the mental aspect, if they told me I had cancer, I'd probably just sit and cry for 3 days. I mean, I don't know. I'd holler like a mashed cat, I know that. But, you know, to come to grips with that, but this thing with my back, I mean, it was just, the pain was so excruciating. and there was no way to get relief. My daughter had had a car accident, and she had some muscle relaxers and some kind of pain pills and stuff, and my wife misunderstood, and she gave me, like, all three of them together, and I was still hurting so bad that those didn't knock me out, even though I was way over-medicated. And so it's funny. You can apply man's logic and man's medicine to things and leave God out of it and no results. And you can take the advice of doctors and things and apply God to it and see great miracles. And so that's what I'm really hoping we can get Brother McElhaney on next week, because the story, what he went through and with the doctors and everything, and it was just a miracle for the doctors to see and for him. And he's an awesome preacher.
Well,
so,
a new convert is just like, you know, the faith of a child, and that's what a new convert is like. You know, they get the faith
right.
of a child. They are a
yeah.
child, you know, in a way.
And that's part of what I think I'm looking for. I'm wanting to go back to my first love. Not to where so much of the things of God were common. I want to go back to where when I was reading his words, it was just like sitting down to a three-course meal and just the words jump off the page and be real to me in that way they were when I first read them. And so, you know, that's what I'm looking for when we're going through these topics and things. So, you know, it's not that God can't. We know he can. And like I heard this preacher say one time, it's not that he don't want to. He will. You know, the Bible says he wants to do more than we can even think or ask is what he wants to do. But it gives him great pleasure for us to ask. You know, we got to set things in motion. I think that's what you're doing. And I want to applaud you for, you seem so positive in this. And so, like we said before, we're really believing with you for a miracle.
Well, I have another request, too, and I'm probably going to get killed for this later, but my sister isn't much like me, and all I'm going to say is her name is Rita. She has medical issues that the Lord really needs to heal her. I can almost promise you she'll never hit the number one to talk to you. So I will stay afar of her, you know, to remember her in prayer, too. She
all
needs
right.
the Lord to touch her in a lot of physical
She's
ways.
She's a very special person.
Well, I hope some of your prayers don't bounce over on her and she just can't figure out why she's having such a good appetite.
I don't think she wants an appetite. But I know she wants an appetite for her healing. But,
okay. All right, Rita.
Yeah, her name is Rita.
She's just, I didn't mean to interrupt anybody if they're getting ready to say something, but she's just such a giving person that, you know, she gives and don't expect anything back, you know. And God, I think God smiles down on people like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, we've got her in our sights now, right, Wild Bill?
Right.
We've only got about 11 minutes. Yeah, I think you were probably about to say the same thing I was. If anybody's got anything to say, they better press the one. Sheila, where are you guys? What is 618?
Wood River, Illinois.
Illinois, oh, okay. Well, I could scare Rita, because if she's also in Illinois, I can see her thing. But don't worry, Rita, don't hang up. I'm not going to open your mic up. Just teasing you a little bit there. Blog Talk Mom. Sheila, I'm going to close.
About 2 hours away.
She lives in Christopher.
Oh, okay. I'm going to close your microphone out. Blog Talk Mom's got her hand raised, and sometimes if we have too many on at the same time, it gets weird, but if you have something else to say, raise your hand again,
no,
okay?
No, we don't. We were going to get off anyway. And any time we do that, just tell us to shut up for a while.
Yeah.
Somebody else needs to be on, so.
Oh, no, don't worry about it, because I can close off the mic, but, yeah, as long as it's open, we like hearing what you've got to say. So
okay.
Thank you guys so much for calling in. Hope to talk to you next week.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I'm opening up Blog Talk Mom. It's taking – there's your microphone, Josie. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm concerned that I'll be that echo again. How am I doing?
Nope, no echo. You're echo-free.
Right. I am thrilled that with Wild Bill's testimony that he gave and Sheila, and this is wonderful. This is so good to hear the good report.
Ending on the promises.
Promises, and the good report makes the bones fat. So that's excellent, excellent. Healing has been a tremendous part of our relationship with bringing us all when we first started to church. Joy, you were the one that was so sick. And I left for church that night. Your dad came home from work, and you were just very, very small, running extremely high fever. And the doctor's report, I think, had come back that day that they had found a kidney disorder. So you were sleeping, and Jim said for me to go into church, and I did. And when I took a prayer request, you know how they do in church. I started the prayer request about you, and I just started just crying uncontrollably. And so naturally, it touched the heart of everybody, and they started praying specifically for you. And when I came home, your fever was broken, and you were totally healed. And
I've never heard that story.
And you were just very, very small. We were afraid it was hepatitis. It was very serious. And when we went to the farm, we had so many allergies, tensions, and things in the family caused, I don't know what all caused it, but after we moved to the farm, we were healed, you know. And the cutest thing was the morning we had our devotion about healing, and it, you know, we was getting ready to go to school, and you couldn't drink milk. If you drank milk, you had a horrible allergic reaction to it. And you loved milk. And so we prayed and had a little devotion about healing. I don't remember exactly what. And so you said, can I have some milk money? And I said, you know you can't have any milk money. You're allergic to milk. And you said, yeah, but you just said that if I prayed and I believed and that the Lord would heal me. And I said, well, I wanted to say, no.
Don't be silly.
I have never been so flabbergasted. I'll never forget. So finally, I gave you your milk money, and that was the end of that allergy.
And I love milk. Milk and I have been friends ever since then.
And Richie, as he mentioned about his allergies, were tremendous, and he was healed. And I think the thing about, I was reading, I love this program because it, like while Bill said, we seem to approach things from a different perspective of how we look at it. And reading that on the difference between healing and miracles, and healing is, it can be instantaneous. It can be, you know, I can pray, my faith can be enough to heal someone, or there's me, you know, like the stories in the Bible, or sometimes he said, according to your faith, which seemed to be that person's specific faith that was able to respond to that person. But healing overall to me is, because it is a covenant with God. We understand God is a covenant God, and the miracle, the gifts, there's a gift of miracles and a gift of healing. And for me, healing usually does a work in my spirit. I've had miracles, and y'all have had them, and we've had them in our family. But healing, where you, number one, remember, y'all, when I would get scriptures and put them all over the cabinets, and I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And that one time I had the tumor, I still have the calcified tumor, but it's been, I guess, 30 years. It's never given me anything, praise God. But I would put scriptures, and I would go to those scriptures, especially when I'd have a pain. I would say that scripture, he is the Lord that heals me. He heals all of my diseases. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm already healed. He was wounded for my transgression. You know, I would say those, and I would feel that faith get stronger than my pain. Then you begin to, the symptoms are really what begin to pull you away. And the symptoms are in the area of the natural man, you know. But
that ties in a lot with what Wild Bill's talking about voicing it, putting your voice behind it and claiming it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very important. And the sickest I've ever been was in Nashville. I don't know what that was, but one night you came down the hall. I was sleeping on the sofa, and Jorbez, you came down the hall, and I don't know if you've been in your room praying. I don't know, but I was in a lot of pain. I was in just a lot of pain, and I had been listening to Elder Boyd preach on about when the storm comes, you take and you the tent, you make you lower the tent and put out the stakes farther so that the wind can't blow away the tent. Is of course it was a beautiful sermon and I just slaughtered it, but I was just feeling that I needed to just go ahead and just rest on the Lord, and I was quoting these scriptures, and you couldn't have been over 12. And you came down the hall, and you put your hand over, I'm going to start crying, over the arm of the sofa, and you started praying for me, and the Lord healed me the next day. I got up, but I wasn't healed instantly. It wasn't a type of miracle, but I began to mend, you know. So healing has a lot of different aspects to it for what it does to our spirit. Don't y'all agree?
I totally agree.
I think a lot of it is to keep us humble, to remember that God is sovereign. He's not an ATM machine where you go up there and put in your pen and, you know, spit out what you want. But, you know, it lets us realize that we're dealing with a sovereign God who loves us, you know, that he does want to do those things for us. And it's like, you got to get up underneath the spout where everything comes out, the healings, the blessings, the anointings. You know, it all has to do with being hungry for those things. The biggest thing, besides the healing, is the change it made in me in the way I was thinking, you know, about it, the way all of a sudden I started giving God thanks. And, you know, you just start counting your blessings for all the things, you know, that God's done, you know, and the older you get, the more things you have. And, you know, God will let you, he'll help you remember things that you forgot about where, he came in power and took a situation and made it different, but also made you different in the process. And that's what's important.
Amen. C.S. Lewis said that pain is a megaphone that God uses to get our attention. And that goes along with what you said, Wild Bill. You know, that's really what God wants. Not for us to be sick, but for us to become aware again of how much he loves us and what a price he paid that we can't be healed.
And we also have to remember it's the curse of sin and we have to be sick at all. It's not that God ever, this wasn't the initial plan for man. So
that's true.
So we got to remember that this is, you know, God had a plan that, you know, had us being able to dwell in the garden with him, and because of sin, there's an accountability. And so that's one of the things, though, I do want to say. I don't think that you can judge because someone's sick there's something wrong.
Absolutely.
I do think that a lot of times, like in my situation, that God is, I think the reason I got this hunger to want to be closer is because God's pulling me to be closer. So,
right.
Well, I need to scream in my ears. We got 90 seconds. I do want to let everybody know that the password on the supplement website, alert, the number one, supplements.com, is love for the month of February because you think of Valentine's Day. And so love should be an easy one. Remember, it gives you 10% discount on anything on the site. And it also, if you get a 5-pound container of protein or more, you get a free blender bottle. And I want to throw that out there. Next week, the topic is going to be, I want everyone to think about your testimony of what you want to give thanks to God for, and share with everyone for a miracle or something in your life that you feel like you want to share. So that's going to be our show next week. I want to thank everyone again as Tom, for everyone that listens. Remember, everyone is asked to be prayed for and call their name out in prayer constantly and to believe with them.
Richie,
Gabe,
the little 9-year-old boy goes in at 7 o'clock in the morning for the test for the brain tumor. They're asking us to, everybody, hold him up in prayer.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I meant to do that earlier.
I looked at Tyler, I said, what I need to do.
Yeah, I haven't forgot K. Anybody else got something they want to say? We got just a few seconds left.
Sheila, I opened your microphone back up. What, Bill?
Are you going to be doing the show next week, or was this your last one?
Whichever way you want to do it, we're kind of in between because our first show was on February 6th. This is February 2nd, and then the next show is February 9th. So however you want to handle that, I leave that at your discretion.
We'll let you come back and help us again next week so Charlotte don't have a heart attack.
No heart attack.
You were fixing to leave it to her to have to fill in and do that for us. She's like, huh? What? I'm like, yeah, I can't believe it.
I don't know. Right. She told Jennifer that she liked it. She missed doing it. So I think she'll be good at coming back at it.
Where are you guys located at?
I'm in the best of all the city and the best of all the states, Austin, Texas. A little bit of attitude.
I would have to disagree with you, but go ahead.
My mom is in Florence, Mississippi. And Bill lives in Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. Yeah, Spring Hill. Where are you? I forgot, Bill.
I'm in Kansas City, but I go to church in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, but he's in Kansas City because he is driving a truck. So he's each week he's somewhere different usually.
Your brother and sister, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Mama, did you have anything else you want to say? We're off the air, I hope y'all know. Now we're just chatting. Now we're just having a conference call, aren't we, Wild Bill?
It's so great to be able to do that, folks.
Was Sister Rita, and she is one of the most precious people I've ever met. And also,
you want me to try to force her to come on?
Pardon?
You want me to try to force
not
her to come
online.
On?
Oh.
I think you did that to her one
might,
time.
She's still
to
on
death.
There. I think it cost her because she doesn't have long distance. I don't think so. Or she has.
Well, the radio show is also this other person that's in 618. If you want to just say hi to us, press 1 and we can bring you on. You can say hi. And Starla, I see you hiding there too. We've got a 618 that is the last four numbers are 7791.
That's nothing.
All right, let's bring on Sister Starla. I bet you're excited about that testimony your husband had.
Oh, God has just been so awesome. I mean, he brought Lisa through surgery, and he healed Bill. And while Bill was off, we were both so concerned about our finances, and God even fixed that. God is
woo-hoo!
Awesome.
He does.
Anyway, I do want to correct or clear up a misunderstanding. Or I think you do a wonderful job, and I think you ought to continue on the path that you're on because you are such a blessing. You're awesome.
Yeah,
and
you
do,
are wonderful.
I do kind of like it. I really enjoy you doing
it. Everyone talks about
it.
How we kind of bring things from different sides. They say that's the natural thing of being a brother and sister. They figure that.
Yeah, I think Starla's coming from a place of wanting me to do it instead of her, aren't you, Starla?
No, I really think that you add so much to the show because you're more talkative and you just have a different way of words that, you know, I just don't think quick on my feet like you do.
Well, I think that it's just because it makes you nervous because you're not that used to it. But your voice sounds really good, and I think that you'll probably get more where you – once you break over that barrier of being nervous, then you can hardly shut up.
Oh, I can see that happen. Yeah. I'll pray for you, though. That God will give you a change of heart.
Well, I was very happy when Jennifer told me that you missed doing it and that you liked doing it and you were surprised that you missed doing it or whatever. I won't put words in Jennifer's mouth, but I thought, well, that's good because I didn't think you liked doing it.
Well, I really don't remember that conversation, but, you know, I guess it could have happened.
She said she was kind of teasing you, saying, do you miss being on the show? And you said, actually, yeah, I enjoyed doing it.
Well, I did, but, you know, I think you do such a good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sister Starlight. I heard you chuckling, Bill. You're thinking what I'm thinking. She's just trying to butter me up, aren't you, Starlight?
No, really. I think you and Bill complement each other, you know. You've got all the history and, you know, with your mom and everything.
Good old Blog Talk Mom. Well, I think
the next
that you
week is testimonies. The week after that, we're going to do a show on love, where people can share something cute, romantic about a date they had with a boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouse, or
that's
know,
cute for
that
to be
like
y'all's
that.
First show without me. That's perfect.
Wow.
Be the love show. The love show. Well, Wild Bill, are you ready for us to all hang up?
I was just trying to think if there was something else. I was surprised that we didn't get more preachers calling in on the topic of that tonight, because I was really hoping to get a little bit more clarity from people a little bit more seasoned than me on the topic. And we can just come back to this again sometime, too. So maybe during the testimonies, that may help. You know, when you get the... I know when you're hurting and you get to hearing that other people's got things, you can think, yeah, God's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for me. You know, and,
yeah.
And so those things kind of help, in, you know, in going through. And I just, you know, I just know what my trial was, and that I didn't think that I was going to make it the first day out here in the truck, and I've not had a bit of trouble from day one. I mean, after
that's just
trying
amazing.
To get this stuff off the bunk. I mean, it went from embarrassing myself in the Outback Steakhouse and throwing up at the table because of spasming and pain, and then did it in their parking lot, and then, you know, he had to keep stopping the car because I was hurting so bad, you know, for me to get out and stay up there, and I'm just beating myself to death in this truck. Oh, I forgot to mention one thing on that. My very second trip out here on the road, we have this furniture that we pick up. It's the office furniture. Like, you can get some of it like at Walmart and things, where it's in the boxes and you can put the things together, but it's mostly office furniture that's sent to people that supply, you know, the little, you know, the dividers and the desk and all that stuff. It all comes in boxes, the wooden file cabinets and things. My second trip, and I was scared to death when I saw what it was. I had one of those, and we have to unload it. And I thought, this ain't going to be pretty. I'm not going to be able to do this because the boxes are stacked, you know, two or three high, and you got to break them down to the floor, and you can't just drop them. And then all I have to do is get it to the back of the truck, and then they take it off. And not just was I able to do it, but most of the guys, it takes them 2 to 3 hours to do it, and I unloaded that whole truck in 45 minutes.
Woohoo! I talked to you when you were worried about it. I hadn't heard the good report about that. That's good.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be one of the places I got to. You know, some of them, they just tell you to stay in the truck and they'll do it, and I get paid for doing it too. But it weren't one of them. It's kind of like that thing where, you know, I feel like God sometimes try me, you know, stand on my promises, you know, to really apply it. And so, you know, I don't know. It's there's a lot of different things. And I think a lot of this has to do with the personal relationship thing that people have with God, too. You know, he's wanting us to get, you know, each person's different. You know, like the thing that I talk about with Dad. I think, you know, you can't just say, well, you can't just like put God like a put in a bottle and say, this is what it works for them, so it's what works for me. It's not a magic formula. It's a relationship, so. We're rattling. All of us got to get up early in the morning, so I want to thank all of you again, and we will be doing this next week, Joy.
All right. Love you all.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Y'all have a good night. Good night, John Boy.
Night, Sheila.
Good night.
Good night.